Well, hello to all of you out there. I hope you're staying cool wherever you are. Hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us today as we explore the gamut of entertainment and theatrical activity that goes on in and around the immediate Kansas City area. I say in and around because my second guest is from outside of the metropolitan area. So we pull them in from near and far on the Arts Magazine Show. As you listen up to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City, I am Michael Hoag, your host. I love to have fun. I love to do contrast in interviews. And I got my wish today. We are going to go from very serious, very deep, to absolute hilarity in the second half of the show. But that's the way I like it. That's the way we love to do it. Our first stop will be with the Barn Players of Johnson County. And they are doing, a heavy drama would be cutting it a little short, I think. It's quite a heavy show. It had quite a splash on stage. It had quite a splash as a motion picture. Very well known, yet very controversial because of the subject matter. And we're going to discuss a little bit of that with you today. The show is Equus by Peter Schaefer. It runs, it actually opens this Friday, July 31st, at the Barn Players of Johnson County. They're located, by the way, at 6219 Martway in Mission, Kansas. If you want to learn more about the barn and its activities, you can go online to thebarnplayers.org. We have with us, to tell us all about it, two of the actors and the director. Diane Boulan is with us once again. She is the director, but she's also an actress herself.
Hi. Thanks for having us, Michael.
Seen her on stage. She was one of the original founders of KC Stage Magazine, so she writes as well. She has directed Cinderella Kids for the barn. For Talking Horse Productions at the Paradise Playhouse. That's the one in Excelsior,
Nyan. That's correct.
And let's see, also at the Kansas City Fringe Festival with Martin Tanner Productions, the Gaelic Revival at the Irish Center. And I just gave up, Diane, and started writing many, many others. We'd have to go any further with that. Paul Orwick is with us as well. He plays the role of Dysart.
Dysart.
Dysart? Okay.
The way we're saying it.
Pronunciations are not always my forte, as all of the listeners know, of course. You have appeared on stages in St. Louis and at the Lyceum Theater in Little Rock. Now, that's a quaint little place to work.
In Arrow Rock, yeah.
In Arrow Rock, yeah. That's a quaint little place to work down
it's
there.
It's the only town I've ever been in that where the main industry is the theater. There's no other...
Did you do two shows in Revolving Rep?
No, there I just did 1776. So it was the only show that I was doing.
Well, that's a big musical. Did you sing it? Now, is that the one where in my research yesterday, I saw on YouTube that you sing a song on YouTube. Is there? Was that from 1776 or another musical?
I'm not sure what you listen to.
Okay, well, you'll have fun when you look it up later.
Okay. There's a couple of things I did that wound up on YouTube a couple of years ago I sang Being Alive from Company.
That might have been the one.
Okay, yeah, that's from Sondheim. That's from Company.
Yeah. Well, you can look up Paul. As you're listening to Paul talk, you can look him up. But don't listen to the music part of it. Just listen to the audio part of it. We don't like competition here. Okay. Paul, thank you. Nice to have Paul with us once again. And in the role of Alan Strang, that's the troubled young man. Can I say troubled?
I think that's fair.
Okay. I think it is, too. Playing the role of Alan Strang is J. Will Fritz. He has appeared with the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, the Fringe Festival, Kansas City Actors Theater, and probably some other things as well. Mm-hmm. This is your first time on the show?
Yeah, it's my first time being in a Barn Players production, okay. So it's really exciting.
And my show as well.
And your show as well. More importantly, your show.
Oh, no, yeah,
of course.
You don't need to go there. But you have a difficult role in this. The young man is the center of attention and one of the more difficult roles in the show.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could definitely say that the character is asked to examine kind of certain qualities of the human experience that are pretty intense and, you know, it, pretty impassioned, I mm-hmm. guess you could say, taken to a certain extreme, which I think is something so interesting about the script.
I've never seen a stage version of it. I have seen the motion picture, which was quite interesting and thought-provoking as well. And the notes I made about my remembrances, kind of a religious and ritual sacrifices, and the combination thereof, his fascination with these horses on that level.
Well, there are kind of all these layers with those kind of themes, definitely. I mean, I don't know if we, you know, sacrifice any goats. There's a dream sequence where there's kind of alludes to some ritual sacrifice, but it really kind of deals with what ritual sacrifice might mean in terms of psychiatry and religion too. What might maybe metaphorically we sacrifice for sanity or for trying to fit in with public norms. I think those are kind of themes as well, the general big themes that the show deals with that I think is so interesting.
Diane Boulan, of course, is the director. What got you to take on a project like this? Couldn't have been easy.
No. Actually, I'd interviewed for The Barn and having directed Cinderella Kids for them last summer.
What a contrast.
Had a great time, yes. And so I thought, well, I would like to...
it's a pretty obvious step.
Would like to direct one of their adult
shows. It's a lateral
move. Yeah. Uh-huh. So... when they offered me the job of directing Equus, I was really thrilled and eager to take on the challenge of such a really complex character study.
Oh, really?
Not just for the young man who does this heinous act towards the horses, but also the psychiatrist who has been brought in to help heal him or try to discover what would cause a young man to do such such a thing.
Would you like to do a brief synopsis of the storyline beyond what we've already done?
Absolutely. Equus takes place in 1970s England, and a magistrate comes to Martin Dysart, psychologist, and says, you have to take on this case. This 17-year-old boy has blinded six horses. And rather than throw him in prison for the rest of his life, the magistrate felt that he could be saved in some way or treated in some way by Martin Dysart. Mm-hmm. And so it's a parallel character study of how these two how their relationship develops in over the course of a few weeks of therapy sessions in trying to figure out what made Alan Strang do this.
Of course. Now, my remembrances are also Richard Burton played your character, Paul.
In the movie,
In the movie, yes.
Uh-huh. He did on Broadway briefly as well.
Okay.
He didn't originate the role, but...
Yeah. The psychiatrist character had problems of his own as well, correct?
That's definitely a major part of the story of the, the drama of the, what's going on is his ambivalence about this this case.
You told me
without giving away too much, you know.
You told me earlier this was loosely based, at least on incidents that actually
very. I mean, it was just I think in the, probably in the script itself or one of the scripts that I had Peter Shaffer actually talks about how he came up with the idea, because it's a pretty wild idea. But he actually, just in conversation, somebody mentioned that about a particularly horrific crime that a young man had committed, blinding six horses in a stable, and he never did find out what the anything more about it than just that little tiny bit of information, but it was enough to get the gears meshing and get the wheels rolling in his head about why would this happen, and plus it fits in with Peter Shaffer tends to revisit certain themes in different plays that he has mm-hmm. has written over the years which is the nature of God and our in human relationship with God. And I mean, in Amadeus, it's which is a Peter Schaffer play and then later a film, where which in the Amadeus, you know, meaning loved of God, mm-hmm. And the character who's so devoted to God, Salieri, feels he's been neglected and or rejected by God, and the one who's really has seemingly no redeeming value, which is Mozart, and it was the one who has all the gifts and is so blessed. And so it's the unfairness in that, you know, that in Royal Hunt of the Sun, which is another Peter Schaffer, a wonderful Peter Schaffer play. He deals with the conquistadors who came to, I think, what is it, Peru, or is it?
I think it was. The Rip did that a number of years
ago. Yeah, and Francisco Pizarro.
Pizarro.
Yeah. It was the... And Atahualpa is the god king of the, or god emperor of this of the, it's not Aztec or what the Incas, I don't know, whoever it was, whatever the civilization was that they encountered, and it's just, you know, where he calls into question the idea of because he claimed that he will be resurrected in of course, in Pizarro, and mm-hmm. this was the Catholic, very much a Catholic, you know, or they were driven by the Catholic Church and Catholic ideals as they existed at that time. And, you know, their whole thing, of course, is the resurrection of Jesus, and this was the, you know, it was the same kind of thing, the resurrection of a god, you know, of the god king who's he claims he will be resurrected. And so, you know, it's all those kinds of intrigues that Schaffer likes to play with a lot.
He likes to get below the original surface, of course.
Yeah,
there's absolutely. A lot of in Amadeus especially, there's a lot of mystery involving his death, even though movie made it a bit clear cut, but there are several layers under that, I think, and there's a lot of layers, obviously, in this. When you were getting ready to cast Diane, what did you have in mind?
Absolutely, I wanted to cast people who I trusted to really dive into all those layers and create multifaceted characters, because I didn't want to create archetypes where, you know, simplifying mm-hmm. human beings is, you know, just being one-sided. I wanted to see everyone, not just these two characters, but everyone else in the story, whether it's Alan's parents or whether it's the magistrate or everyone involved who Dysart interviews over the course of the couple of weeks. Want to make sure that we see all their complexities, that they're not, that people aren't just all good or all bad, that we're all shades in between. And yes, Alan Strang has committed something, done something very horrible. So are we quick to blame the parents or chalk it up simply to mental illness? We want to know more. Mm-hmm. So it's really, I cast the play knowing, that my cast could handle that and could really do that research into developing really full characters.
Did you know much about it, Will, before you got involved?
Yeah, actually, I had gotten the opportunity to read it in college. I went to UMKC, and we actually were slated to do a production of it one year. We had the late, amazing Gary Holcomb as our director.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now, he would want you to dwell deeply. He would have wanted that.
Yes. Don't cheat me would always be his go-to thing to say. But we had it all cast, and I was actually cast as Alan. And unfortunately, right during that time was, well, unfortunate for a lot of people because they saw the production, the Broadway production with Daniel Radcliffe was just starting to mount up, so we weren't able to get the rights. So last minute, we had to change it to All in the Timing, which is very different, very, very different, which was just fun. And, you know, it was kind of what needed to happen at that time. I really believe that. So I'm really excited to get the chance to, actually do the role and to delve into it.
Has to be difficult to get into the skin of a person so troubled.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think every kind of character you put on, unless they're specifically written for you, you have that problem. I think, you know, on the surface, this one feels a lot harder just because, yeah, I've never, you know, blinded six horses. You know, I have never been, as they say in the play, a horsey type of person, or, you know, into equitation, as they call it. Those initial hurdles, kind of when you're going into the script, look kind of mounting and look kind of scary. But as you, you know, I think just like in any play, as you examine it, as you read the play over and over, as you kind of do your own analysis and research, you try to find the traits and qualities that you respond to, or how you can see yourself maybe in that capacity given certain circumstances. And I think that's the fun part in the discovery. And you find new traits about yourself you didn't know existed or that you could tap into.
Sure. We're speaking with the director and two of the performers in the Barn Players production of Equus. It opens up July 31st at the Barn, runs through August the 16th, basically 3 weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then the next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a Monday performance on August the 10th, then closes with yet three more performances, the 14th, 15th, and 16th. Friday, Saturday, the evening performances are always at 7:30. The afternoon matinees are always at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Barn Players, located now in Mission, Kansas, after traveling for many years, as if through the desert, like the Hebrew people. They have a home now in Mission at 6219 Mart Way in Mission, Kansas. If you MapQuest things, the zip code is 66202. You can buy at the door. You can go online for that, and it's thebarnplayers.org. I have a phone number I'll give out if there are special considerations. If you're handicapped and you think you will need special consideration, things of that nature, the number is 913-432-9100, but no one is there on an everyday basis to answer the phone, so it's probably best to take the other ways of making your arrangements to attend the show. But if you have a message you want to leave for them, by all means do it. The show opens this Friday, July 31st. Not much time to go. Are things progressing as Diane would like for them to be progressing?
Absolutely. We just started our technical rehearsals last night. We'll continue tonight and then have a few dress rehearsals before our opening on Friday.
The mood for the show. How do you get your actors ready for the mood of this? Is it serious? Yeah, there are probably moments you can mine for humor.
Obviously.
I was going to say earlier, it's not without its moments of hilarity. is the word I think used. But and Peter Shaffer is, you know, no stranger to comedy. He wrote Black Comedy, which is very funny, very, you know, I mean, it's, I won't say Neil Simon, but it's, you know, it's that kind of, in terms of just, you know, so he knows how to write funny very well, and he does in the show.
I would think the people of that town in England would be the ones probably the most puzzled by what is going on. The psychologist or psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist.
He's puzzled, of course, but he may have dealt with things like this before.
Nothing to this. This is kind of the most extreme thing I think he's ever had to deal with. He's dealt with some, you know, very troubled young people, but uh-huh. and he is exclusively a child psychiatrist.
Sure.
And but this really is, you know, the kind of the new or the you know, the most severe case.
See, I think the members of the public at large, you know, the people of the town where this took place at least, would like to know the why. The why would be more important in the long run. Of course, it's awful about the horses. But the why would help perhaps prevent things in the future. How does the psychiatrist go about trying to figure out what the why is?
Well, I mean, that's pretty much the story of the play is I mean, it's unraveling that mystery, And so he, you know, it's obviously going back and in bits and incrementally finding the history of what led up to this and the actual moment of the or the you know what the you know the actual night of when this happened is sort of that's the climactic section of the second act of the play is where we you know the hours that led up to this actual this you know the deed as it were.
Sure. Now Will, is Alan in our existence? Is he in a different existence? It is, or has what he has come to believe and think a part of it? I guess maybe I'm overanalyzing this.
No, I think that you kind of tapped into something that I really enjoy about the script is just the universal nature of Alan's story. As crazy as it is, we obviously are still living in a culture that still has a dependency on violence in some regard, especially, you know, when we look at all these shootings that have been happening this past couple years. I think that we can definitely relate to the process of trying to examine why Alan would do something like this, because I think we're asking that question as a culture too, of our children and of our counterparts in this culture and environment that we live in, as to why people would act this way. And you know, as we examine the show, we find that, you know, there's not a simple answer. There's many different elements. It's environmental, it is personal to the experience. So I think it just raises a lot of questions as to how people act with each other and what kind of impact that has.
Sure enough.
Well, I think obviously and very clearly, and I think this is why Schaffer was intrigued by it when he probably first heard about it, is that it's an unbelievably monstrous act. But does that make the person, you know, the perpetrator, a monster?
Depends on what was going through his mind when he did it.
Exactly.
And we have a tendency, unfortunately, all too often, because these events are happening, we hear so much about shootings and random acts of violence in public places. You know, we're sometimes quick to dismiss somebody as a monster for what they have done. But if we are curious and we want to dig deeper and understand as a society why somebody would do these things, you know, we get into, is it their upbringing? Were they wired at birth to have psychopathic tendencies? Were they filled with misinformation as a youth, fairy tales, myths, religious stories that all get caught up? And in Alan's case in particular, you know, all these elements joined together and coupled or added on to that, you know, as he goes through puberty and starts to have feelings, emotions about other people and misdirects, you know, feelings of lust and desire and passion. Everything, I believe, in Alan's mind gets caught up and confused. So it becomes a really intriguing puzzle for Dysart to piece together.
Sure. Now, we should probably point out the adult themes in the show. Be prepared for that. No horses are actually harmed during the production.
No
don't worry about that.
No horses in the show. At all.
Well, mocking. In a mock sort of way. Yeah, and there is nudity in the show. We need to make people aware from that.
Yes.
So what age should we tell people is appropriate for their kids?
The Barn has listed Equus as an R-rated show. So, however,
18 and up, or will we let ones that are mature and but slightly
I would say mature teens would be able to handle the material.
Yes, controversial subject matter, but intriguing. Nonetheless, the whys and wherefores in a show like that are important and to understand. The show is Equus, and it runs it opens this Friday, the 31st, at the Barn Players, located in Mission, Kansas, 6219 Martway, Mission, Kansas. You can walk up to the door to buy your tickets. You can get your tickets online as well, and it's online at thebarnplayers.com. www.theatrepublic.org. Performances July 31st, the 1st and 2nd. Then the second weekend as well, Friday the 7th, the 8th. Matinee on the 9th. A special, I guess it's an industry night performance on Monday the 10th. Then another three performances, Friday the 14th, 15th, and 16th. All the evening performances are at 7:30. The afternoon matinees and Sunday are all 2 o'clock p.m. at the Barn Players in Johnson County, presenting Equus, running through August the 16th. Heavy subject matter, but very intriguing and
can
very
I mention
interesting.
Mention the GoFundMe.
Well. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do have a GoFundMe campaign to raise funds specifically for this production of Equus. So if you Google GoFundMe Equus, sponsor a horse. we would appreciate any help you could provide support, because we have personnel, we have everything from paint and furniture rental and props and costume material.
It's a very expensive show.
To cover. So,
I can imagine, yeah. And again, there's a lot of animal groups around. I want to assure them no animals, horses especially, are harmed.
It doesn't condone the blinding.
No, it does not. But loosely based at least on an event that actually happened, given a lot of dramatic license for the understanding of all. But Equus, it was a movie, it started. The young man who played Harry Potter starred on Broadway, so that's got a lot of note.
Magical shoes to fill.
That's right. And the wand as well. Equus opening Friday the 31st at the Barn Place. I want to thank my guest for being here, Diane Boulan, the director of the show. She's been an actress herself, a writer. Directed as well. Paul Orwick, who plays the role of Dysart. He has, been in Arawak at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater, Starlight American Heartland Theater, Quality Hill Playhouse. And J. Will Fritz plays the role of Alan Strang, Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, the Fringe Festival, and KC Actors Theater. I want to thank all of you for being
on
the show
today.
Thank you very
much for
having us. Helping us delve into the mysteries of Equus, opening this weekend at the Barn Players. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, we're going to go from very, very serious to a lot of fun as we talk about the musical Bye Bye Birdie going on at the River City Players of Leavenworth. And we'll talk about that when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI 90.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. If you used to hang out at video arcades in the 1980s, then there might be enough nostalgia value to attract you to Adam Sandler's sci-fi comedy, Pixels. Everyone else, save your tokens. In this lame enterprise, Sandler, Josh Gad, and Peter Dinklage play nerdy gamers who are called upon to save humanity when an alien force invades the Earth. Seems the extraterrestrials mistook some old video game footage for an aggressive challenge, and they send high-tech versions of Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Centipede, and Galaga to destroy us. The effects are special, but the comedy is anything but. In fact, the screenplay is so lame, it plays like they took an old script from one of Sandler's earlier farces and just inserted giant video game icons. If you really want to see a good video game movie, skip Pixels and rent Wreck-It Ralph. Paper Towns is yet another coming-of-age dramedy adapted from the work of novelist John Green, who gave us the tearjerker The Fault in Our Stars. Nat Wolff plays Quentin, a high school senior who's been madly in love with his neighbor Margot since childhood. His feelings for the enigmatic girl remained unrequited. When Margot mysteriously disappears, however, Quentin and his outcast friends embark on a road trip to find her, relying on some cryptic clues that she left behind. Paper Towns offers nothing new or groundbreaking, and the finale comes off as a bit anticlimactic. But while it's much ado about nothing, Paper Towns is a sweet-natured and well-acted enterprise, a real relief from all of the gross-out teen comedies we've become accustomed to. Also opening this week, Jennifer Connelly plays a mother emotionally scarred by a past accident in the drama Aloft, and Southpaw is a boxing drama starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Forrest Whitaker, and Rachel McAdams. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Freeze Frame!
This week on American Roots, we're down by the riverside, listening to tales of steamboat captains and fishermen, traveling to the headwaters of the mighty Mississippi, and gliding downstream on the Belle of Louisville. plus music and memories from Al Green, Johnny Cash, and Aaron Neville. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Wednesday evening from 7 to 9.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host, hoping to lighten things up a little bit, but probably because of traffic or some other reason, our guest for the second half of the show, the director of Bye Bye Birdie at the City Theater, the River City Players of Leavenworth, Kansas, has not arrived yet. They're doing Bye Bye Birdie. It opens also this Friday the 31st at 8 o'clock. p.m. Runs for, let's see, basically 3 weekends also as well at the River City Theater's facility at 5th and Delaware in Leavenworth, Kansas. The number to call there for more information, you might tell them that they're late for the show, 913-651-0027 or on the web at rccplv.com. And a little bit about the show. Oh, you remember Bye Bye Birdie. You've probably seen it online or know some of the songs from the show. I've got a lot of living to do is one of the shows. What's the Matter with Kids Today? Made famous on Broadway and in the musical by Paul Lynde.
Paul Lynde, absolutely.
Yeah, as he sang the song. We Love You, Conrad. Get several plays in the show, and of course the feature show Bye Bye Birdie. I found it interesting that during the course of planning the show for today, one really heavy show and one real fun, silly show. If you want to know some of the background of Bye Bye Birdie, it happened back in the time post Elvis Presley entering the army. And that's what happens to the character Conrad Birdie in the show. He is inducted to the military service. But my further research taught me that the name was actually a parody. So Conrad Birdie was actually a play on country music singer Conway Twitty. So we have a little bit of Elvis Presley in there. We have a little bit of Conway Twitty in there. And I find it interesting that in the movie, Ed Sullivan actually played himself. And Elvis Presley, of course, was famous for being on the Ed Sullivan Show, among other things. But it's Bye Bye Birdie, going on, opening this Friday the 31st, and then Saturday the 1st, then the second weekend, the 7th and the 8th, and then the third weekend as well, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. All of the evening performances are at 8 o'clock p.m. The matinee is at 2 o'clock p.m. at the River City Players of Leavenworth. Their theater is located at 5th and Delaware. As you're driving south on the main drag there in Leavenworth, you can see it off to your right on the corner. So, again, the number to call, 913-651-0027, or on the web at rccplv.com for information on that. And if the director shows up, we'll talk to her. But in her absence, I corralled the director of Equus, Diane Boulan, and Paul Orwick, who plays a psychiatrist in the show, to stay on. They have interesting backgrounds.
Do you want to say anything?
No, it's just always great to be asked to do an encore. So thank you.
Well, it's nice to have you.
Well, no, I was going to, no, because we corrected you on the pronunciation of Dicer.
That is nothing unusual.
But we never corrected, but Diane gets this all the time, and it's Bullen is the way
Bullen?
Her last name is pronounced. Yeah,
Bullen is
everybody says Bullen.
As one of my theater friends said, it's, oh, so you mean it's like Bull in a China shop. Like, all right, if that makes it easy for you to remember, then thank you.
That's the way it is.
Thank you, Jason.
Diane's been around Kansas City doing things for a while, acting first. Then I remembered you and a group of others started Casey Stage Magazine.
That was back in 1998, if you can believe it.
Why did you want to take on such a hard project as that?
Well, back at the time in 1998, what is now the Just Off Broadway Theater was in the middle of the planning stages of how it was going to be managed as a city facility. And so you had a group of a lot of theater companies without permanent homes gathered together to facilitate that space. And in the middle of those meetings, a friend of mine and I said, you know, we need a newsletter that would be comprehensive and cover everything that's going on, not just in just off Broadway theater, but in all of Kansas City theater, whether it's a professional equity theater to community theater to academic theater. We wanted a clearinghouse of information, and so that's how Casey Stage Magazine was born.
Yeah, well, see, back in those days, that was really. It wasn't really before the internet and email, but it wasn't used as heavily as it is now.
Correct.
And people really didn't know when the auditions were taking place, what theater was having what show, and no one knows better than me how hard it is to keep track of all that. What show is opening what weekend and how many weekends it runs and all of that. That's difficult to keep up with. And something like KC Stage was a good factor in keeping that going.
Yeah, and the website is still around, kcstage.com.
So they don't publish monthly. It's on mostly
there's
on
no
the
hard
internet.
Copy, no.
Oh, okay. But they can get it on the web. Do they have to be a member or anything to get it?
You can go to kcstage.com and see. One of the most helpful features is an email digest where people can post about performances or auditions or anything they might need in the way of theater. Through an email list that you can sign up for if you go to the website.
You had a lot of good information. One of the things that was the most intriguing was the discussions. And,
yes.
And sometimes the discussions would go on for quite a while. At some point, was there any monitor on that? Because some of the people got rather carried away with the things.
Yeah, yeah. The webmaster did yeah. monitor and did try to moderate some of the discussion, yeah.
Yeah, but it was quite spirited, but exactly. It was interesting to watch. It took up a lot of space, of course. But
yes.
But in lighter years, they changed it to where you could get just the announcement without the discussion. And
exactly.
Discussion
and I find that extremely helpful if you just want the nuts and bolts. Where are the performances? Where are the auditions?
Yeah, all of the auditions, the performances, all of that. But also the features. Now, you had to come up with a feature every month. Was that difficult to do?
Right. Well, you know, I ran a lot of it for the first 2 years and then handed it off to a group of six people who could, cover all the bases much better than I could by myself.
Yeah, well, I was featured once and got a lot of reaction to that as
great,
well.
Great.
But a lot of other people who never would have gotten any notice or were featured in the magazine as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think the spotlights were a really good feature.
Yeah, I think that's always a good thing. I mean, I salute you and Benita Hansen
well,
before you. She had one called Green Room Conversations.
That's right.
Before that, so and it was a lot of work for her. I heard her say that, and I'm sure it was a lot of work for you and your colleagues
you
doing
bet.
That as well. I'll bet. But thanks for doing that. In this modern age, you know, everything is, of course, online as well.
Right. We have social media to get the word out much more quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the internet and social media and email and all that, that actually saved, in my opinion, community theater around here. I belong to several community theaters, was on the board of one or two of them, and you know the biggest monthly expense was the mailing list.
Exactly.
You sent out one for auditions, you sent out one for performances. Some people tried to combine the two together, but between the postage, the mailing, and all of that, you know, a big chunk of their budget went towards that. Don't really need that so much now. They probably do some mailings, but a lot of it just goes by email.
Yes, and of course, back to social media, it's very serendipitous. You know, the opportunities that I've received in theater just by stumbling across somebody's post, mm-hmm. you know. As a matter of fact, Will Fritz, who plays Alan Strang in Equus, he and I met doing a show last year for Whim Productions, Kevin King's Flowers in the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And, I wouldn't have been in that show had I not heard stumbled across an audition notice on Facebook.
That's the thing about Kansas City. There's a lot of small groups.
It's a very small theater community, and to tie in with the production of Bye Bye Birdie that you had mentioned, their choreographer, Stephanie Stevens, I also met during that same production of Flowers in the Wardrobe. So it's all 6 degrees of Kansas City theater.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Those things saved community theater because of the
exactly.
expense involved. And you just can't thank enough the people that took a leading role in that to kind of help There's a lot of theaters in Kansas City. I mean, there's community theaters, there's small professional theaters, there's big professional theaters as well. And because there's more here than in other places, I give a lot of credit to publications like yours and others as well.
Thank you.
That really goes a long way towards keeping things alive. Now, Paul, who is in Equus as well, but has been in many other things as well. What all have you done at Metropolitan Ensemble Theater? I think I saw you over there.
Well, the very first, the very first production we did was for the very first Kansas City Fringe Festival. We did Line, which is I can't think
I
of
can't
it.
Remember.
I'm just drawing a blank on the playwright's name.
Oh, that's all right.
But it's just a short, it's like 45 minute play, absurdist play of people standing in a line, and who's first in line is basically the conflict of the play, and you don't even know what they're standing. They don't never, you know.
It's never revealed what they're standing in line for.
What they're standing in line for. It's just, but who's in the front of the line?
Was it Black Friday, was it?
What's that?
I saw one called Black Friday.
This was just called Line.
Okay, Line.
And anyway, it's very funny, very wacky play. And then I did Man of No Importance. And,
we all feel that way sometimes.
American Buffalo. And,
oh, American Buffalo was heavy. Now, which role did you play?
I played the store owner. What's his name? What's my character's name? Donnie, yeah.
It comes and it goes. Yeah. Now, the language was strong in that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well,
oh, yeah. Now, how did you deal with that?
Well, I mean, it is, you know, I'm not exactly, I have kind of a potty mouth just normally. So, you know, it's not like any of us were shocked by it, but it just, people who don't normally talk that way after being in rehearsal for a while, you know,
oh, yeah.
It just becomes, you know. You know, everybody's talking in expletives after a while.
I've been in theater, going to see theater for most of my life. Even I was surprised at the extent of the language.
The thing is, too, about that show and about David Mamet dialogue in general is it's brilliant dialogue. I mean, the he writes just masterfully. He captures the way people talk. It's still theatrical. But the truncated sentences that we tend to, we don't finish. We'll start down one line, then we switch and go someplace else. And he does that in his dialogue, but he does it in a brilliant and artistic way. But it is really hard to learn.
I'll bet.
And at one point it just got so frustrating, and I made the comment during rehearsals, I would say blank David Mamet, but I'd have to pay him royalties.
What was the most difficult part you've ever played, Diane?
I'm glad you asked, because to this day, the most challenging role I've ever played was also for a Barn Players production in 2004. I was in The House of Blue Leaves by John Guare, and I got to play Bananas. And talk about your emotionally complex roles. that was one of the most draining roles I ever got to play, but I was very happy I did.
Why do actors, I know the reason, but I'm asking rhetorically, always want to play something as far removed from their self as possible.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think it allows an actor to really draw on whether it's actual life experience or playing the magic if I were in this situation, you know, it allows the actor to explore a lot of intentions and objectives that, I wouldn't get to do in normal life, regular life.
Yeah, you were involved years back. There was a lady in town. His name's escaping me, but she would have playwrights write, and then a group of us would read her plays on stage. You were involved in that sometimes. I remember you reading some of the plays.
Yeah, that's always a fun opportunity, is to read brand new works, and so especially so the playwright can hear how it sounds out loud. Mm-hmm. I love being in that developmental process.
I'm sure. Now, the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater has script in hand shows. Mm-hmm. Have you been involved in some of those?
Yeah.
Our Town
and Chicago. Did Chicago and a bunch of different things. Yeah. Those are fun. A lot of fun, too.
We've worked in a lot of cities here, Paul. In St. Louis. What kinds of things did you do in St. Louis?
Well, I did, again, 1776 in St. Louis. I've done that show 3 times. I think they've done that.
Well, which founding father were you?
I played, the first time I did, I played Richard Henry Lee.
Oh,
he's got the big Lees of Old Virginia, which when I first saw the show, that was when it was touring. After it had been a big hit on Broadway and then went on tour, and I saw it when it came here to the Music Hall, and I just, that was the part I wanted to do, just do that song, and I was lucky enough to get a chance to do that a couple of years later, when they used to do the park shows in Luce Park in Kansas City back in the 70s, 60s and 70s. And then Stages St. Louis, which is a terrific company, they actually are out in the county. I want to say Chesterfield, but that's not it. But they're, or Kirkwood, I think, is where the theater is actually located. But they just do musicals, and they were doing it, and I heard about that, and so I went and auditioned and was cast as John Dickinson, which is a terrific role. Yeah. And then I got to do the same role again at the Lyceum a year or two later. And when you're an act like mine, you got to keep moving.
So, do you prefer musicals to a play like this?
No, not at all. I mean, I do. I really enjoy doing musicals. But I really enjoy doing, I just enjoy doing theater, good theater.
Oh, sure. Now, do you have either one of you plans beyond right now? Does Paul have anything? Diane probably has something.
I get a nice long break.
Oh, okay.
I've been fortunate, and it's very fortunate to be able to be in theater for a living. So after directing, I think Equus is the... excuse me, like the fifth production I've directed in the past year.
Wow.
I've stage managed 3 shows in the past year for Spinning Tree Theater and have been in 3 or 4 shows in the last 15 months. I'm going to take a nice little break. And then do some stage management for new dance partners coming up in the fall.
Yeah, that's always interesting when that comes up. I'd like to ask you, if it's all right, you've directed for the Paradise Playhouse.
Correct.
Place is a mystery to me. I've put out feelers for interviews from them, but have never heard back. Are you listening in accepting? tell us a little bit, what you know anyway, of the operation out there. Is it a community theater? Is it semi-professional?
Yes, it is. But they also serve dinner. It's about 150 to 200 seat theater. They produce about 5 or 6 shows a year. Last fall for them, I directed a play called Don't Talk to the Actors. And I have been in 2 shows for them. Spring of last year, I was in Unnecessary Farce. And then just right before I started rehearsals for Equus, I was in Biloxi Blues in a very brief appearance.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you that they've got On Golden Pond coming up.
Okay.
They've chosen a good season.
Is it? I don't know. So I'm just asking. In any way associated with the big hotel, spa hotel, or not?
No connection with the Elms. No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, good for them out there. We want to hear from them soon. You know how to get a hold of me. So great. Great things going out. I thank them for holding over. Diane, we're pronouncing it Bullen now?
Yes.
Okay. And Paul E. Orwick, should I have put the E in there?
Sure. No, for informal situations. I like that in my
is it
bio.
Is it an equity reason?
No, I just, it's, it's just one of those things that, when at some point when you when you decide to be an actor, you go, you want something to make yourself sound a little more distinguished.
Sure. And also, I think there are union rules sometimes.
Well, yeah.
People added, like, there was already a Michael Fox, so that's why the one we know today is Michael J. Fox. We know that.
I have a friend, Mary Pat Green, who had to be Mary hyphen Pat Green.
Oh,
Because there was already an equity Mary Pat Green.
Well, those names kind of go together, don't they? Yeah. Well, their show is Equus. They were here today, so I'm going to talk more about them. It opens this Friday the 31st at the Barn Players in Johnson County and continues for 3 weekends, Friday, Saturday. Both of the evening performances are always at 7:30 at the Barn. The Sunday afternoon matinees, and there are 3 of them, are always at 2 o'clock p.m. Then the second weekend, Friday the 7th, 8th, and Sunday the 9th. Then a special Monday night, kind of an actor's night performance. The theater started this so people in other shows could come see the show that they wouldn't have got to see otherwise.
Exactly. We call it the industry night on Mondays because it's usually the dark night for us for theater.
Of course, now everybody's doing industry nights, so they're all working anyway. So.
The industry night is always packed now. And then a final weekend of performances, Friday the 14th, Saturday the 15th. And Sunday the 16th at the Barn Players in Mission, Kansas. And people have asked why I always say Mission, Kansas. It's because there are other theaters around the world called the Barn Players. So you have to specify. There's one in Parkville. It's called the Bell Roan Barn. I've performed there. Diane probably has performed there.
No,
as well.
Actually, I haven't.
Haven't ever performed there? What about?
Never did Bell Road Barn.
Well, no. I did. It was nice. They moved around a lot, too. But they're currently at Park College when they do a show. They're not a... It's my understanding, and if that has changed, you email me and tell me that they don't do a complete year-round season. They only do shows occasionally out there. But there's a lot of theater groups in the Kansas City area.
That there are.
More so than in St. Louis. But for its size, Kansas City really...
It's a great theater town.
It really does. I'm always surprised at the people who grew up in the New York area have migrated out here. Because they get work here,
yeah.
More so than in other places. Thank you both for staying over. Their show is Equus, opens this Friday at the Barn Players. Diane Bulland, the director, thank you so much for being with us. Paul Orwick is with us as well. It's got to be a difficult show to do for the performers especially, but these are tough subjects to cover. But someone's got to do it, and in this case, it's you. So good luck on that. And for our guests that weren't able to make it today, Bye Bye Birdie in Leavenworth, Kansas. A lot of songs from the show that you would recognize. You've got a lot of living to do. Put on a happy face. What's the matter with kids today? One Last Kiss. We Love You, Conrad. And then the feature, Bye Bye Birdie, and other songs, of course. In it as well, kind of a fun musical. The River City Players of Leavenworth are located at 5th and Delaware in Leavenworth, Kansas. They're on the web at rccplv.com, and their reservations number to call for tickets is 913-651-0027, and that'll get you connected with the River City Players of Leavenworth, Kansas. Again, thank you so much for being with us. Glad to have you here.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
KKFI has a lot of great arts programming on its air. You have myself here on Monday. You have Maria Vasquez Boyd with Art Speak Radio on Wednesdays. And sometimes other shows will pick up and have a guest during Fringe Week. A lot of the shows had Fringe guests on the show. So we're happy to do that. KKFI and the arts... Help supporting arts in the community. That's our quest, and that's what we like to do the best. So thanks so much for everyone helping out here today. The Jazz Insider is next. He has lots of great jazz to bring your way this afternoon. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. We'll have the blues from 3 to 6. Another community affairs talk program at 6 o'clock tonight, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.